Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 16, and I want to pick up reading. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to pick up reading in verse number 19 this morning and see what the Lord will give us today. The Bible said this, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on our life. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather that you've given us outside. I thank you, God, for health and strength to be able to enjoy it and to see it, God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us together, Father, and to worship you this morning. Thank you, God, for the great Sunday school hour. Thank you, God, Father, for the great singing, God. Thank you, Lord, for a house full of people today. But God, now as we come to the most important part of the service, God, the preaching of thy divine word, I pray, God, that you'd help us today. Father, you said if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Father, to magnify you today and to lift you up. Father, you said in Revelation that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. We plead the blood of Calvary over this service today. Lord, if there's anybody here lost and on the road to hell, God, may this be the day that they accept you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name, that name that's above every name, that we pray it. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I know just a few weeks ago I preached out of this passage of Scripture, but I want to look at it again today and give us a few more thoughts with the help of the Lord. This week I was out at the goat lots where I was at, and I was playing with the goats and talking to the goats. You got to have an educated conversation every once in a while. And I was talking to the goats and playing with them and just sitting out there relaxing, really just thinking about how good the Lord was. And this thought came across my mind, Brother Scotty. Do we really believe in a place called hell? Do we really, really, really believe in a place called hell? A lot of times we like to think about heaven. We like to sing about heaven. And can I say this morning, I like to think about heaven and I like to sing about heaven. I like to think about streets of gold. I like to think about gates of pearl. I like to think about gathering with our loved ones that's outrun us in this race in a place called heaven. I enjoy thinking about that. But just as much as there is a heaven today, there is a hell that burns beneath us. us. Just as much as there is streets of gold, there is a bottomless pit. Just as much as there is a God, there is a devil today. Just as much as there is angels, there is demons today. And there is a hell. I began to think about if we really could get a glimpse into hell, if we could roll back the center of the earth today and we could look off into hell, if we could hear the agonies of hell, if we could hear the screaming of hell, if we could smell the stench of hell, I believe that it would completely change our life. If we could really understand just how bad hell is, I believe that it would change our life. I would say this, if you're lost, I believe that you would immediately run to Calvary and be saved. If you're saved, I believe that it would give us a burden like we've never had before for our family members that's headed to hell. Is there really a hell? Well, yes, there is really a hell this morning. There is a place this morning that if you die lost without God, that you will spend an eternity in the flames of hell. Let me show you two or three things about this text this morning and we'll be done. We know that the rich man dies, and according to the word of God, the rich man ends up entering into a place called hell. We know that based on the authority of God's word. And can I say something to you today? We have to base it off of God's word, not off of our opinion, not off of our emotions, not off of our feelings. We must base it off of God's word. I want to say this to you today. I was talking to a lady and I'll just tell you, it was Miss Chelsea. We was talking the other night, Miss Leslie and I and Brother Zeb. Miss Chelsea was talking and she was asking us some things about the Bible and about salvation. And here's what I told her. I said, Miss Chelsea, you'll have to base everything that I'm telling you off of God's word. Our salvation is based off of His word. Our security is based off of His word. Our steadfastness is based off of this word. We live our life based off of the word of God this morning. And according to the word of God this morning, according to what it says, according to its authority today, there is a place called hell that the rich man opened his eyes in after death. After death, he opened his eyes there. Let me show you two or three things this morning. I would say this. Number one, the place that he entered. Look in chapter number 16, verse number 23. Look what the Bible said in the beginning of verse number 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The place that he entered. He entered, according to the word of God, he entered hell. He entered hell. I read this years ago. I heard, as a matter of fact, the night that I surrendered to preach, these are the verses that God used to confirm in my heart that He wanted me to preach in July of 1996. And that night, my Uncle Scott preached a message on the reality of hell. I was thinking this morning, and Uncle Scott read a poem as he began that message. And I began to search the internet this morning, and I found the poem. It is entitled this, A Train Ride to Hell. Here's what it says. The engine with murderer's blood was damp and was brightly lit with a brimstone lamp. An imp for fuel was shoveling bones while the furnace rang with 1,000 groans. The boiler was filled with lager beer, and the devil himself was the engineer. The passengers were a most motley crew, church members, atheists, Gentiles, and Jews, rich men in broadcloth, beggars in rags, handsome young ladies, and withered old hags, yellow and black men, red, brown, and white, all chained together. My soul, what a sight. While the train rushed on at an awful pace, the sulfurous fumes scorched their hands and face. Wider and wider the country grew, as faster and faster the engine flew. Louder and louder the thunder crashed, and brighter the lightning flashed. Hotter and hotter the air became, till the clothes was burned from each quivering frame. And out of the distance there arose a yell. "Ha ha," said the devil, "we're nearing hell." Then how the passengers all shrieked with pain and begged the devil to stop the train. But he capered about and danced for glee and laughed and joked at their misery. "My faithful friends, you have done the work, and the devil never can a payday shirk. You've bullied the weak, you've robbed the poor, the starving brother you've turned from the door. You've laid up gold where the canker rust, and have given free vent to your beastly lust. You've justice scorned and corruption sown, and trampled the law of nature down. You have drunken, rioted, cheated, and plundered and lied, and mocked at God Almighty in your hell-born pride. You paid for a fare, so I'll carry you through, for it's only right you should have your due. While the labor is always expected is higher, so I'll land you safely in a lake of fire, where your flesh will waste in the flames that roar, and mine imps will torment you forevermore. Welcome to a place called hell." Boy, I thought about this morning as I read through that again. Can I say something to you? That is where our loved ones is headed to. Can I say something to you this morning? The place that he entered. Can I say something to you? If you're sitting here this morning and you don't know the Lord is your Savior, no poem could ever do justice. No words could ever do justice. No sermon could ever do the justice that needs to be done of how awful a place hell really is, the place that he entered this morning. I thought about this when we think about hell. I thought about what the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. It said, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger." Said, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountain." The hell and fire was all created in the anger of God. Satan rose up against God. Satan wanted to take over heaven, and God kicked Satan and the angels that was following Satan out of heaven and put them in a place called hell. He created that in his anger. Listen to what your Bible said in Matthew 25, 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The place that the rich man entered, it was not prepared for me. It was not prepared for you. It was not prepared for the rich man, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. So the question would be, why would a God so loving send men and women to hell? God has never sent one man or one woman to hell. Men and women choose to reject a God that loves them, and a God that gave his son for them, and a God that gave them opportunity after opportunity to be saved. When you reject God, you choose yourself to go to hell. God don't send you to hell. You choose in your own power to reject God and the love of God. And by doing that, you go to hell. Number one, the place that he entered. Number two, look in chapter number 16, verse 23 again. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Note what he says next, being in torment. I not only see the place that he entered, but I see this, number two, the pain that he experienced. The pain that he experienced. The Bible said right there, being in torment. That word torment means extreme pain and anguish. Extreme pain and anguish. I think back over 43 years of my life, and there's been very, very few times that Brother Tim, I have been in extreme pain. Now, I may stump my toe or hit my shin and think that I am, but it passes very quickly. But a few of you in here, like me and Brother Tim, can give me a witness on what I'm fixing to say. If you've ever just been sitting at home enjoying a normal day and all of a sudden a little old bitty tiny stone with prickles all over it begins moving around in your kidney, you experience extreme pain and anguish. If you've ever had a kidney stone, Brother Stacy Piercy wrote a great song about the kidney stone. Go home and look it up on YouTube. The pain that it caused. I'll never forget the first one I ever had. We was in Panama City, Florida. And it was when Leslie and I was with Rock of Ages. And we had got there the night before and set the camper up. Well, we had a fifth wheel camper that we traveled in all the time. We had set that camper up there in Panama City and went to bed late that night. I woke up the next morning. We were supposed to start in a juvenile prison. And whenever I woke up about 5 o'clock that morning, not because the alarm was set at that, because I wanted to sleep later than that. Brother Jim, I thought I'd pulled a muscle in my back. That's exactly what I thought. I stood up, Brother Tim, and I went, man, this something's wrong with this mattress, or setting a camper up last night, I pulled a muscle, and I walked in there, and I sat down in the recliner, Brother Will, and I sat there just a minute or so, and I got back up, and I tried to stretch, and they said if you'd lay down in the floor and put your feet up on the couch, it would help you back. So I laid down in the floor, and I put my feet up on the couch, and it didn't do nothing. And Miss Pam, it just continued to get worse and worse. And finally to the point where, Brother Randy, I just come to the conclusion I was dying. It was it. It was over with. I was going to die. Miss Leslie said, well, honey, it's not that bad. Miss Vicki, it is that bad, isn't it? It is. You know, it is that bad. Man, I walked back and forth in that camper, and I walked outside. I thought I was going to die. Finally, I just laid down, and I told Leslie, this is the gospel. I told Leslie, I said, if you'll go up there beside the bed and open the drawer, I said, there's a .44 revolver laying right there. I said, just get it and bring it down here and put me out of my misery. I'll never forget, Miss Leslie called Brother Rick and Miss Judy. And Brother Rick Hildebrand came over there, and he opened the door and walked up in that camper, and you just got to know Brother Hildebrand. He said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, Hildebrand, I'm dying. I was crying, man. I didn't know what was going on. I said, I'm dying. And he said, you ain't dying. You got a kidney stone. I said, well, I don't know what it is. I'm going to die. He said, you ain't going to die. We got to go to prison. You got to get to feeling better. He gave me something to take, and I got to feeling better. And ever since then, ever so often, I end up thinking, Brother Scotty, that I'm going to die. I walk into the hospital, slapping the vein on my arm, saying, DeLauded, please. Somebody give me a you say, are you a junkie? When I got a kidney stone, baby, yes, sir, I'm a bad junkie. Put all you can put in my vein. I thought about that torment, extreme pain or anguish. And then I got to thinking about hell. Said that he was in torments. I read on in the definition, and this is what it said. The uttermost degree of misery. The uttermost degree of misery. And then it said this. Either of the body or of the mind. Of the body or of the mind. Can I say this to you today? I think that I would rather have body pain than mind pain. I really do. One thing about COVID, when I had COVID, it messed with my mind more than it did anything. Man, I'm telling you, I've never battled depression and things like that. But during that time, Brother Robert, it messed with my mind so bad. And I began to think about this rich man. What is on his mind? Well, he tells us what's on his mind. He tells us what's on his mind. Anguish and pain. He talks about it. He don't say anything about his riches. He don't say anything about his home. He don't say anything about all that he had. All he is saying is, I want one drop of water. I can honestly say I've never been in so much pain that I thought one drop of water would help me. Could you imagine the pain that he's in? I looked this up. Fourth degree burn. This is the deepest and most severe of burns. They're potentially life-threatening. These burns destroy all layers of your skin as well as your bones, muscles, and tendons. You say, well, preacher, how's somebody going to burn forever in hell and not burn up? I can't answer that, but I can say this. I do know a story about three Hebrew boys that was in a burning furnace, and they never burn up. The soul that lives within inside of us. And I got to thinking about that soul, and some would say, well, it's just our soul that's in hell. Well, I think I can take this passage of Scripture and prove to you, even if it was just his soul, that his soul had all five senses. He could hear. He could taste. I believe he could smell. He could see. He had a memory. I'm talking about the pain. The pain that he experienced that day. I really believe in all of my heart that either Lazarus or somebody has told this man about the Lord. He knows about Moses. He knows about the prophets. He had a head knowledge of the Bible, but he didn't have a heart knowledge. Don't ask you a question this morning. Is your head knowledge going to lead you to an eternity of pain? Your heart knowledge will lead you to an eternity in heaven. It's not just having a head knowledge of God. I thought about this. Number one, there was a place that he entered. Number two, there was the pain that he experienced. But number three, I see this, the people that he envisioned. The people that he envisioned, chapter 23, again, he says, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. We know that he got a glimpse into what was known as paradise at that time, and I'm not going to take time to deal with all of that. But I also know there's not a doubt in my mind that he saw everybody else that was in hell around him. I thought about this as I read that poem this morning. I thought about this. Church member, atheist, Gentile, and Jew. The people that he envisioned that day, who did he see in hell? I thought, well, no doubt, he saw a church member, atheist, Gentile, and Jew. See, church membership never got nobody to heaven. I think it's a good thing to join a church. I've never pressured nobody to join the church. I've never pushed that on nobody. That's something that I believe that the Lord will lead you to, and you should be obedient to that. And I've never pressured nobody to join a church. But can I tell you something? Church membership will never take you to heaven. Reading your Bible will never take you to heaven. You can, hey, look, you can know your Bible from front to back and back to front and still die and go to hell. There's not a doubt in my mind there's preachers in hell today. There's not a doubt in my mind today that there's from all denominations, all races, all gender are in hell today. I thought about this verse. Revelation said it this way in chapter 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The people that he envisioned, the pain that he experienced, the place that he entered. But I say this in closing this morning, the plea that he expressed. You see, the rich man had something to say once he got to hell. The plea that he expressed that day. Yes, he does ask for a drop of water. He does ask for that. But he mentions that in passing. But when you get to verse number 27, he begins to make a plea for his family. He begins to make a plea for his family. Miss Tanya, if you will, come start playing softly. Here's what he says. Then he said, I pray thee. Can I just stop right there and say it was too late to pray? You say, preacher, does there ever come a time that it's too late to pray? Right here, it's too late to pray. He's dead and already opened his eyes in hell. Look what he says. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He begins to make a plea from hell. And you know what he says? He says this, I got five brothers that's going to die and come to hell if somebody don't go tell them. The plea that he is making, I've got five brothers that's going to enter hell if somebody don't go tell them. If somebody, you know, what if, let's just back up. What if the rich man would have got saved? What if he'd have went and told them? You know, there's something here that's not mentioned. And Brother Jake, I've thought about this for years. And if you got any insight, share it with me. I mean that. But he never talks about his mom and daddy. There's no mention right here of his mom and daddy. He don't say anything about his mom and daddy. I wonder a few things. Is his mom and daddy already dead? Or could it be that his mom and daddy, can I preach it in our dispensation, his mom and daddy was good godly people that took them to the house of God, that raised them in the house of God. And he knows that they're either in heaven or if they're still alive, that they raised him right. I don't know, but he never talks about them. Could it be that they've taught him right and they've tried to get him to God and he never would go? But boy, he looks back through time and he says, hey, God, I've got five brothers. Somebody's got to tell them about you. They're going to come to this same place. They're going to enter hell just like me. Somebody's got to go tell them. This prayer, if I could say it that way, that he expresses for his family, it's too late because he's dead. He's dead now. It's not too late for those five to get saved. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. Nothing else is mentioned about it. It's not a parable because there's a name mentioned in it. It's a true story. All I know is this. He got a burden for his family, but it was too late. It was too late. I want to ask you a question this morning. Number one, are you saved? You said, preacher, I'm not sure about that. Well, there are some things in life that you cannot be sure about and be all right, but this is not one of them. This is not one of them. I don't mean to embarrass Miss Kelsey or Miss Chelsea this morning, and if I do, she'll fuss at me after service. But Thursday night, about 10 o'clock, her and Brother Zeb come tearing into church. She was tore all to pieces, squalling and crying. She said, preacher, I just don't know. She said, I just don't know. And I said, well, I can't tell you for sure you're saved. I'll never tell nobody for sure that they're saved. Honey, that's between you and the Lord. I said, but what I can tell you for sure is that God loves you and that God gave His only Son for you. And it don't matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God still loves you, and God will give you the peace that it is all right. Boy, we talked for about 10 or 15 minutes and bowed down. And I told her, I said, you get this thing settled today. You put a mile marker right here. And when the devil tries to come back and tell you you're lost, you bring him back to this place and let him know that you done business with God. Man, we prayed a little while and she got up with a smile on her face. And she said, if I wasn't saved, I'm saved now. I've got it settled. Hear me and hear me well. Hear me and hear me well. The most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. It's not your career. It's not your spouse. It's not who you'll spend the rest of your life with, but it is where you will spend the rest of your life. Are you saved this morning? So, preacher, you know, I think I am. I don't think I'm saved. I can't tell you, July the 20th, 1994. I can't tell you every word I said that night, Brother Matt. I don't know every word I said, but I do know this much. That night when I hit my knees, I knew I was headed to the flames of hell. And within my heart, I was crying out to God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and save me. And hear me, good neighbor, that night, that very moment, the Lord moved into my life and took up abode in my life. I don't doubt my salvation. I don't walk around wondering about it. I know based on the authority of God's word, not one hair upon my head will ever see the flames of hell. No, sir, I'm saved. Are you saved this morning? If you're not, I wouldn't wait another minute. I'd find myself in an altar and I'd get saved this morning. I'd get that thing settled. I'd get it nailed down. We're not promised our next breath. We're not promised our next breath. Our little old community has been hit hard the past 2 or 3 months with young people dying. Just this past week, just Tuesday of this past week, a 24-year-old went out into eternity. Just right up the road here, several of us was there, went out into eternity. I guarantee you when they left their house and started down the road, they didn't think that that would be the last time that they ever rode in a vehicle. But boy, they went out into eternity. We're not promised our... Man, get that thing settled. Get it settled. Said, preacher, I'll do it tonight. You may not make it home. Me and some of the other people in this church may cut your dead body out of a vehicle before you ever get home. Get that thing settled. Number two, if you're saved and you know somebody that's lost, well, may God break our heart this morning to realize that's where they're headed to. That's where they're going to spend eternity at.